Welcome to Making It!
A show about a married couple making it in New York and making stuff in New York. I'm Robbie.
And I'm Anna.
And
this is our podcast.
This is our podcast. All right. It's Friday.
TGI motherfucking F. I'm so glad it's fucking Friday.
Yeah.
Long one. Will say too, I just want to say one of my favorite things about doing this podcast with you is that I mean, we get to catch up after a long day and I don't have to wear makeup while we do it.
I don't have to wear makeup either. In fact, I'm not even wearing pants.
Ooh. This is a just different kidding, kind of podcast.
I'm totally wearing pants.
They'll never know. Well, I'm actually doing my... I'm painting my toenails black.
I'm cooking some adobo. Actually, I'm just waiting for some adobo to finish out of the Instant Pot.
It's a special kind of chicken wings, which is really non-traditional. My mom would probably shake her head at you. Actually, my mom doesn't really care.
Your mom would appreciate that I wasn't letting that food go to waste. We actually had a barbecue last Saturday, and I, as usual, bought too much food. And we actually finished maybe like a little more than half of it during the barbecue, and then we had all this leftovers. And I've been slowly like chipping away at all the leftovers. So we had taco night, which took care of... the leftovers from the hamburger stuff, because it's ground beef, lettuce, tomatoes, and onions.
It was amazing, actually.
Isn't that nice how it works out? You just season differently. And cheese, yeah.
Let's not forget the cheese.
It's basically our taco night, which is like ground beef tacos, is basically leftover burger night.
Because a burger, if you think about it, a taco, if you think about it, is a deconstructed burger.
You also use the tortilla. One thing about our tortilla situation here is I'm team corn tortilla and Anna's team flour tortilla for tacos, which
I just prefer. I don't know. Call me a colonizer. I know that corn tortillas were more like authentic to the indigenous Mexican community, you know, but I guess with the advent of the flour tortilla brought in by the Spanish colonizers, things changed. But I mean, a quesadilla. Can you imagine a quesadilla with a corn tortilla? That sounds horrible.
We won't get into that. I'll just say that we have to buy two sets of tortillas. And as you know, tortillas come in like packs of 62. And so, you know, who's really going to eat 62 tacos before those go bad?
I mean, not us, but... on a good day, maybe us.
Anyway, these chicken wings, I like to barbecue chicken wings, and these chicken wings are now stewing in the Instant Pot making adobo. I wouldn't normally use chicken wings for adobo, but hey.
What is adobo?
Adobo is, I mean, I call it a Filipino dish. I don't know if that's correct, but I think it's a Filipino dish. And it's basically... vinegar. I guess it's kind of like a process, because you can have chicken adobo, you can have pork adobo. I've had oyster mushroom adobo, which I thought was very good. But basically, it's a long time ago.
Oh, that sounds good.
But basically, it's just equal parts. You know what? The way I make it is equal parts soy sauce, vinegar, and now coconut milk, which I got from you. Mm-hmm. But some people don't like to put coconut milk.
I think like the traditional way to make adobo is mostly just bay vinegar. Leaf. Oh, bay leaf is really important. Bay leaf is like a weird thing that like I don't know how it actually helps a dish. Do you?
Well, you know what? I've before thought that, and it was like very cavalier. It was like, I'm just gonna like, I don't have bay leaves. Fuck the bay leaf. I'm gonna just try and make it with soy sauce and vinegar and peppercorns, and it's not the same. You need that bay leaf. In fact, I thought that we didn't have bay leaves, and I, like, low-key panicked for a little bit.
Oh, my God.
I forgot.
So, you went to a bay leaf panic?
For a second, but I found the bay leaves, so.
Oh, wow. Whew, thank goodness.
Yeah, it is not the same.
It's an intangible quality. I think it's funny, though, like, you can't, like, oh my gosh, God forbid you leave a bay leaf in there and someone takes a bite into that shit. It is not, it's not something to eat. It's not delicious at all. It actually tastes like cardboard. It tastes like paper.
Yeah, I don't know that I've ever tried to eat one.
I don't know, but also the worst thing, if you ask any Filipino, they will tell you one of the worst things about adobo is that you sometimes get a bite of a whole peppercorn because somebody forgot to put that shit in like a cheesecloth.
It's not that I forgot to put it in a cheesecloth, but I didn't want to use the cheesecloth.
Did you put whole peppercorns in there?
Yeah.
Oh God, that's scary.
Oh, so you're supposed to.
Well, you're supposed to have like a good way to like take it out at the end of the day. You don't want to bite into a peppercorn. It's like it's a surprise and it's a disaster.
Yeah, I just know not to bite into them.
Okay, then you're just more careful at eating than I am. Anyway, sorry for this inconsistent audio. It's because we're actually recording at our dining table, which is a first. We usually record in the comforts of our bed. But because I'm doing my nails and Robbie's cooking, we're kind of like moving around a little bit. So there's some like noise from the chair creaking, from us like opening whiskey bottles, all kinds of stuff. And full disclosure, I told Robbie, okay, I like that. What's this whiskey called?
This whiskey, it's a pure malt and it's a Nico whiskey. This whiskey is named in honor of Masataka Taketsuru.
Okay, we probably butchered this.
Yeah, who established Nico whiskey in 1934.
Wow, it was a good year indeed. I was going to say, full disclosure is that before we started recording, I told Robbie to let loose. And I think he's doing it right now. But
I had a long day. Had a long day.
Why was your day long?
Oh, yeah. So I guess I woke up early because I had ordered this piece of very flat glass that's 6 inches by 14 inches. And I ordered that from Crystal Glass over here in Brooklyn in Gowanus. And I ordered it from them because they were close to our house, and it was only like $34 for that.
Okay.
For that piece of glass. And what I needed for, basically flattening stones. As I'm sharpening my hand tools, like my chisels and my planes and things like that, you know, you kind of wear down the stone, and the stone kind of, you know, starts to curve a little bit, or, you know, it'll basically lose it. It'll start to shape into like some like concave form, and what happens is that shape will transfer to your blade. So what you have to do is you have to keep your stones like super super dead flat, and the way you do that is, or the way I do that is, I have this flat piece of glass and then I use some wet dry sandpaper and then I sort of flatten the stone on it. But glass, yeah, this glass is like perfectly flat. So I ordered from them, woke up early to pick it up, which early for me is 8 a.m. I went to the city bike and there was one electric city bike. And this is my first time riding an electric city bike. It was great. It was fantastic.
Wait, so how many electric city bikes do they leave like throughout the city?
I don't think that many. Like, I don't see them that often. I have no idea.
Okay, so how is this different from a regular city bike?
So it's different from a regular city bike because you don't have to try. Like, you hop on that thing and then like my initial plan was to ride it down there, park it, get the glass, and then come back. But man, after I started riding it, you just like you're pedaling, but it like assists you. So you're pedaling up a hill, but you're not even actually feel like you're pedaling up a hill. You're just awesome. Kind of like going through the motions of pedaling up a hill. You know what I mean?
That's cool.
Yeah, and so like I zipped down there from like here to Gowanus in like 10 minutes. I go to this place, Crystal Glass, and it is sick. Like, it's a huge like warehouse. They have this enormous CNC machine because I guess it's filled with glass, obviously. They have like They're the two guys standing in front of the garage. I like roll up right to the front of the garage with my like city bike, and then like I like, hey, I'm here to pick something up. And it's two guys like standing there like loading up their trucks, ready to go out for the day, and you know, like deliver and install glass all over the city. And they're like, you gotta go inside. So I go inside. The guy gets my glass. I go out there, and then as they're wrapping it up for me, I'm like just looking around asking questions. But they have like, yeah, this enormous CNC machine that they can like, I mean, I guess
Cool.
cut like. You can imagine they're probably cutting glass for like, you know, these big skyscrapers and buildings, you know, like.
Yeah.
Anyway, it was pretty cool. It's like, I guess it's a good resource for us if we ever want to make like a glass
Custom glass.
table or something like that.
That's
This
awesome.
piece of glass that I got is like really nice,
Can you get
super
like
black.
custom thickness and
Yeah,
everything can be custom?
anything, anything. And I guess knowing now that they have a CNC, I mean, I could even bring a CNC design down there and like
Cool.
have them cut it. And it's pretty reasonable rates. But I can imagine, the price shoots up as you start adding options to the thing. You can get this thing called like tempered glass, and that basically is safer because it doesn't break as, you know, finely, like breaks into big chunks. You know, there's things like that. So that, yeah, that was cool. It's a good, now I have a air quotes relationship with a glass,
Nice.
a glass purveyor. Yeah, so that's why I woke up early. But on the way back, I got you Blue Bottle.
Yes, and it made my freaking morning. I love Blue Bottle Coffee. It's my favorite brand. We so much so that we tried to make it at home and failed. It's just hard to make. I don't know. I like the New Orleans style coffee from Blue Bottle, and I tried to make it here with the exact same bean that they use at the store, at the, what do you call that? Coffee shop.
We never actually got it quite right. If you go on their website, they actually have the recipe. We did use the same beans, but I don't think we didn't mix it with the
Oh, chicory.
chicory. Like we never mixed their beans with the chicory. But the thing is,
We did buy chicory though,
we did buy
for the
chicory.
record.
We did buy chicory.
We bought chicory to roast,
Yeah, I think we still
and
have it. We could
we
probably still
never
try
did
this.
it. But I don't know if it would. I mean, that might be the same thing about like the bay leaves, right? Like maybe it's this intangible thing that like will suddenly make it so good.
Yeah, but so the hack that we did find is that that Dumon brand of coffee in the like orangey yellow can comes with chicory already in it,
Right.
but it's pre-ground and like pre-mixed, so it's
It's
really
probably
easy.
really cheap too.
It's like really easy, but it's not you know, it's not
It's
freshly
not,
ground
yeah.
and like whatever, so.
But yeah, we make some delicious cold brew at home.
Yeah, it's still really good.
But anyway,
And we do use the
not.
blue bottle cold brew making thing
Yes.
because that totally makes a difference.
But it's not as good as the real shit.
No.
So, Yeah, so you surprised me this morning with some Blue Bottle from Gowanus. Was it from Gowanus or was it from Dean?
No, Dean.
Okay.
Got it on the way back, pulled up on my electric city bike.
Aw, shit. Dope. Yeah, it was really, really good, and it got me like wired up. I was like ready to go this morning. In fact, it carried me through the day. Had a second cup of coffee pretty early in the morning, but I was like wound up. Like, wasn't I? So yeah, we had lunch today together
Yeah.
also, which is like, I know it's really gross. Our relationship is like nonstop and like very codependent at this point. But hey, sometimes we like to see each other multiple times in a day. So on a good day, like Friday, we will sometimes meet up for lunch. Today we went to Tacombi on 24th Street. And it was just really nice because it was pretty empty
Yeah.
for a Friday, and I started getting like emotional. I don't know why. I think it might have been the coffee, to be honest. But I was very wound up, and I started talking about some of the things that I had kind of randomly realized that I don't know. I hadn't thought about it in a long time, like about elementary school, and I realized that I completely forgot, but that we had, I think it was first grade. In first grade, I was in a play about a Japanese woodcutter, And also, another badass thing is that the person who played the woodcutter, who, the wood, like, it's like an old man, right, in the story, was a girl, was a little girl.
Oh.
Yeah. Marisol, who I'm still friends with now.
Yeah, yeah.
She played this woodcutter old man, and she was incredible. And she's like, she's still, you know, she's still an incredible actress, and she does theater still.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, but I was just thinking about that, and I was like, oh man, I feel like I was destined to meet somebody who's obsessed with Japanese woodworking or something. But then I was thinking about why in first grade did we do a play about that? And it's because my teacher, Mrs. Freeman, was a huge Japanophile, much like myself now. And she, you know, she like exposed us to so much like beautiful Japanese design and stories and culture. And she was a white lady, let's be real, but she was pretty woke, not gonna lie.
Hey, my teacher is a Canadian white man.
Your Japanese
woodworking teacher. Yeah.
Who, Jan?
Jan, yeah.
Canadian?
Yeah, he's Canadian.
Is he French Canadian?
He's French Canadian.
Oh, I totally thought he was like French.
Yeah, no, he's French Canadian.
Okay.
Yeah, and yeah, so, and then like all those dudes at the, you know, thing, like they're all like white men, but they like went and apprenticed in Japan, and
yeah. Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's not a knock on them. They were all really, really great. I enjoyed talking to them all. But yeah. Anyway, so what else did you make today?
Well, that's cool that your teacher. Oh. Yeah, I wonder like what got her, like for the people I know, you know, was like the woodworking. Like, it's something that I relate to because it's like, you know, the woodworking and
I have no idea.
The attention to detail, the tools. Like I read these stories. Like, I just got the Morrison Tenon magazine, and I'm reading the story. I can't forget his name, but he's in Singapore, and like how he kind of like, it's like kind of his story of discovering, you know, the Japanese style of woodworking. And I'm like reading it, like, wow, this sounds like so familiar. Huh. But you know, like, you know, being constrained by working in a compartment, like all of it. But yeah, I wonder what your teacher, kind of what her draw was, you know?
I have no idea. And I was thinking about her, I'm like, I wonder if she's still alive even.
Hmm.
I mean, she was probably in her 50s?
Oof.
Like late 40s, early 50s. I mean, I don't know. Because when you're young, everybody seems like they're 95 to you.
Yeah.
But they're like
32.
40. Yeah, like... I don't know.
Yeah.
I hope she's still alive. Maybe I'll try to reach out to her someday.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah, so that was kind of like a sidebar, but like, what else have you made today?
At work, I saw a pretty good presentation. It was about this, this other manager basically presented kind of his journey to like operational excellence, and what that means is like kind of, you know, you're running like an internet based service or app or whatever, you know, the expectation is to be up 24/7, 365 and a quarter, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you know, things happen and whatever, sometimes your site goes down or your service goes down, and it's kind of like what he had learned over the course of, you know, couple years or something. Yeah, I found it pretty, like...
What did you learn?
Like,
what was one of the takeaways?
I wouldn't say that it was all... I don't say that any of it was, like, necessarily, like, new information, but it was kind of... You know, I'm, like, a story person. I like to hear it. Like, it was cool to hear it, him tell the story, like, his story. Like his personal...
Anecdote.
His personal story, like his personal journey, I thought was like, was like, well done. Yeah, I want to like talk to him. His name's Pablo.
That's cool.
Yeah. And then after that, I just, I went to Tinkersphere after work.
What's Tinkersphere?
Tinkersphere. So I went to their new location. Tinkersphere is this store in New York City that is like She's kind of like a electronic tinkerer's store.
One more time.
Tinker, it's a
Rrr.
tinkerer's store. Yeah, it was cool. Like they moved right near Reed Space. And it's an Allen and just south of Houston, I guess.
Oh, is it like where MakerBot is?
There was a 3D, I think there was a 3D printing shop in that space before.
Yeah. That's where yeah, it was MakerBot, I think.
It wasn't MakerBot, it was NYC 3D. I don't know. It wasn't it, MakerBot was in Nolita, I
Okay,
think.
well, I remember the, yeah, I remember the
It was a
3D.
3D printing store though.
Yeah.
Anyway, they moved there out of there. I liked their location before, but their location before was too small. This place is like, this gives them room to grow, and it's like, it's cool. It's like, it's all the, still the same stuff, but the layout, it's because it's like a one big open store. It's like, it's the layout's so much better.
Cool. What'd you bet? What'd you buy?
I just got like some more charger parts and some USB cables. And then after that, you know where I went? This place that I've been wanting to go for a long time. It's the New York City pencil store.
What?
Yeah. There is a store in New
People
York
still
City.
use pencils?
I do.
Like, you were not talking about Apple pencils. I mean, like a real lead
Yes.
pencil.
Like lead pencils. Yeah, I went to so I used to go to that store when it was on Forsyth. I found it because Black Roses used to meet at the one of the coffee shops there on Forsyth across from the soccer field.
What's
And the
Black Roses?
Black Roses is my old running team. But there, like a couple doors down, there was a pencil store. And I, like, kind of growing up as like a math and science
Nerd.
aficionado, I liked pencils. In fact, I still have my original pencil from when I kind of started college, I guess. Yeah. Oh, there's the Adobo. But I, yes, yeah, like I, anyways, I like pencils. And so one of the things that I like, this is such a New York City thing that
Store just for
they got a
pencils.
store just for pencils. And you know what? I don't think they carry mechanical pencils. Like, I think it's like lead and wood pencils only. Like, I was looking around because I actually do need some lead for, I got those new pencils from Salter House that are 0.4 millimeter. But I was looking for like pencil lead for them, but couldn't find them there because all I could find there was like wood and lead pencils. But there's so many pencil, like anyway, it's a pencil aficionado's
Paradise.
paradise.
Pencil paradise.
Yeah. There's actually a movie about them that I haven't seen but have been meaning to see, but they're on like some
About
kind
the
of,
pencil store?
I don't know if it's about them or they're like featured in it or something, but they're in some kind of movie. I'm pretty sure it's about them, but
Okay.
I would have to double check.
Cool.
Yeah, so then went there, then came home, and I told you I was going to do some woodworking, but what I actually did was worked on my tools.
How did you work on them?
So I didn't work wood at all. I basically spent the entire evening
Taking care of them,
taking care of them.
sharpening them.
Sharpening, I sharpened a plane blade, or actually, I flattened the back of a plane blade, and I got a block ready by impregnating it.
Ooh, tell me more.
Oh man.
Wait, how? As he
I
takes a
didn't
sip of whiskey.
I wouldn't I wouldn't I didn't that's not the term I would use impregnating it, but I got that straight out of let me just double check, but I'm pretty sure I got that straight out of Dale Brotherton's book.
Wait, the blade you impregnated?
No, the block.
You knocked that block
Knock
up.
that block the fuck up.
Explain.
I'm pretty sure he calls it impreg yeah. Yeah, lightly impregnating the block with oil.
Yo.
So what happens is, like, a tree is mostly, it's mostly, I mean, there's a lot of water in the tree. And when it dries out, lightly impregnate the block with oil. So when it dries out, like that water leaves, and then the wood, you know, changes shape.
Okay.
Because, you know, the water's no longer there, and then the cells move around, and they...
So is there like a hollow wood or something?
So yeah, wood, you know, I mean, yeah, wood. Wood is like a bunch of, imagine, like straws, and there's like water going up, right?
Okay.
And the water goes away, and the, you know, wood changes shape. And so what they have been doing, so back in the day, what they would do is they would basically, essentially, like, instead of the water going through there, they would use tempura oil, and they would kind of put it into the block.
Tempura oil?
Yeah.
Like actual like shrimp tempura?
Back in the day, that's how they did it. Okay. They would go to the tempura shop and ask for the used oil. Mm. It has to be used oil because you want to use an oil that's cured, so it's not basically alive anymore. Basically, it's just cooked oil. Okay. So that it doesn't become like rancid and, you know, smelly and
so
stuff.
So they go and they're like, hey, I want some tempura oil. They like, they make some shrimp tempura real quick. They eat it up and they're like, oh, damn, two for one.
No, they used to go to the tempura restaurant.
Oh, and get back the in the day, excess like
if
oil.
You were a carpenter,
right?
You would go to your local tempura restaurant and mm-hmm. be like, hey, let me get that extra oil.
Why don't they just eat tempura and then use the oil afterwards?
Like, I mean, that's what they would do. They would go to the restaurant, eat the tempura, and then afterwards be like, hey, let me get that used oil.
Got it.
Anyways, they would get this into the block, and now the block becomes stable mm-hmm. because, you know, there's oil in it now. I don't understand all of the, everything about it, but that's how I was taught to, like, kind of prepare a Japanese plane. So that's, like, one of the first steps. So, yeah.
Yeah, wait, so I'm confused still. So what do they do with it? What do they do with the oil? It gets sucked up into the wood?
Yeah, so the way I did it, which is straight out of Dale Brotherton's book, is that like I put a little tape and then, you know, made like a little cup at the top and then poured the oil in. But I've heard that you can kind of just put the block of wood in like oil suck, you know, like an oil, like sitting in like a cup or something, and then it will like...
Oh, it's exactly. It's like the so in the bathroom we have these like sticks of bamboo that are like in a little essential oil thingy, and it just kind of like sucks up the up.
Yeah.
It
yeah,
just gets absorbed and then like
it works its
evaporates
way
into the air.
But this in the so the way I did my first plane is I did it that way. I put it in the thing. But in this book he says to do it like put some tape and then pour it in there. So I'm trying it that way.
Got it. Cool.
Yeah, so I actually didn't even like work any wood at all. I just worked on my tools.
But it's a necessary step.
It's part of the culture of you know, Japanese woodworking. Mm-hmm. It's like there's such a close relationship with the tools. You know, and I feel like I'm getting slowly better at like sharpening, and
I think you are. I mean, there's really no way for me to tell unless I try cutting myself, but I don't think I will.
How about you?
What
was your day like?
What did I make today? I had a pretty standard day at work today. Honestly, like the highlight was having a flour-based quesadilla with you.
Oh, I know one thing that you didn't make today, but we thought about is making those ceramic spoons.
Oh yeah. Maybe I'll make them this weekend. Okay, so
we're talking about that today, right?
Yeah. So my friend Sade is a maker herself. She has an incredible jewelry line that I was sporting just today. And also, besides that, is an incredible person to know and to learn from.
She is.
She's like one of our kindred spirits.
Yeah. Love her. I like what she's doing on Sade Gold.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, her jewelry. But her Instagram.
Oh, yeah.
Like the Instagram.
Yeah,
like
you should follow her. It's Sade, Sade.gold, G-O-L-D.
I feel like I really like relate to like her post. Like today she was talking about like kind of just like being home in her like workshop. I forget exactly what she said, but I was like, I really was like, that ring truth for me too.
She has like an incredible curatorial eye, and I'm very impressed with her every single time I see something she puts out. But anyway, she brought some spoons to my attention, some ceramic spoons, all different colors, different patterns. And she was like, I didn't realize I needed these in my life, and I guess I do, so can you make them for me? And I've never made ceramic spoons. In fact, I'm not very good at hand building, and I haven't really tried it too much, but it's something that I want to try.
Yeah.
And I have this big block of red clay in Pennsylvania in our, like, weekend cabin, I guess you could say. And I'm looking forward to trying to make some spoons and like, ceramic, silverware, I guess ceramic stoneware, for the table. And I'm going to try to get my dad in on it with me because he's coming to Pennsylvania with us this weekend. I'm going to see if we can make it like a family affair and just like hand build a shit ton of spoons and maybe some sporks or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm excited to see what the two of you make. But one thing that kind of I was thinking about with regards to that was, I really think you'll figure out kind of building the spoon part of it pretty quickly. What stood out to me in the pictures that you showed me that Sade sent to you was the glazing.
Yeah.
So I know that you are not, it's kind of like one of the things that you're insecure about is like your, like the glazing and stuff. And so like, maybe this will be a way for you to like kind of
experiment. Yeah.
Yeah. Experiment and learn more. And they're, you know what I mean? They're so small that it's not a,
yeah, it's not as high risk. I think that's the thing about glaze is, for me, like I can spend so much time perfecting the actual shape of a bowl or like a mug or something like that. And then like, if I use a wrong color glaze, it's just like, I basically threw away the entire piece. Like all that work went to shit because like, that's the first thing you see. It's the color. And if the color's off or if it spills or if it's like, if it bleeds into another thing, like, it kind of ruins the shape no matter how perfect, you know?
I mean, I hear what you're saying, but I don't necessarily agree with that because like some of the bowls that we have that I genuinely love using. So, sorry about that little break. My adobo needed to go to the next phase, which is the reduction of the
sauce.
Sabao.
It's called sabao. Correct. Wow, good job. Well, okay, part of this is going to be learning Tagalog in this podcast. Sabao means sauce.
But we were talking about the spoons and the glazing of the spoons and how like I will still value a bowl even if the glaze is not perfect, if the shape is nice.
Yeah. I was thinking about like how I approach art in general or approach the things that I make in general. And I think I have this sort of complex where if it doesn't, I mean, I'm sure a lot of people feel this way, but if it doesn't come out exactly the way that I have in my head, I'm disappointed. And I think that's something that like probably a lot of people deal with, and I don't know how to move forward as an artist or as a creative person. Where, like, even with photography, right? Like, I have an image in my head, and I'm trying to create that image with the equipment that I have. And sometimes it doesn't turn out perfectly the way that I imagine it. I'm always like, oh, man, it could have been so much better if it was a little bit crisper, if it was a little bit, like, I don't know. And then I sometimes blame it on my camera. I blame it on, you know, the lighting at that moment. I blame it on my subject. I mean, whatever, like, but... And I blame it on myself a lot. And I'm like, oh, how come I'm just not good enough? Why can't I get good enough so that, like, I can have that image look exactly the way that I want it to look? Because it's just this, like, powerless feeling when you do everything you're supposed to do, but somehow it's not up to your own standards.
Yeah, but I think probably the silver lining in that whole thing is kind of knowing that, you know, knowing that something's wrong, and then furthermore being able to identify it and be like, this is what I need to work on.
Right. And like for the next time, I guess I need to
sort of like having that ability to, you know what I mean? I think I remember this from like kind of when I was like learning videography, like I can't remember which one of my teachers was talking about this, but just kind of like that intuition to like know something's wrong, you know, is definitely like one thing. You like watch something. Well, in the case of video, you like you watch something, you like know something's wrong. And I think I've sort of like built up, you know, my process around that, especially like with digital, like the digital style, you know, of making things. Like, you know, you make something in Photoshop or After Effects.
Trial and error.
You can like look at it, know something, like have that inclination that, oh, something's wrong, and then go back and redo it.
Right.
But with like our, you know, analog hobbies like
ceramics or woodworking.
Or woodworking, like
measure twice, cut once. Yeah,
you fuck
as
it
they
up.
Say.
You fuck it up, and it's like, you know, it's always fucked up.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I think it is just about like practice and getting used to the like process of it. And I think with glazing, like in this example of glazing, I know now what the glaze looks like on white clay. I know what it looks like on like medium brown clay, and I know what it looks like on darker clay. And so like I think now that I have an understanding of what I like and what I don't like I don't really like to mix glaze, like mix colors.
Yeah.
It never comes out right to me. So I think for like the spoons, for example, I'm going to just dip one side in one color and dip the other side in another color and like, and keep some like regular, ceramic, like just like raw clay in between, like sandwiched in between those two colors. And not actually let them touch, because that's when the glaze starts to get like really runny and weird.
Yeah.
So anyway, I'm excited to try it out.
Yeah, I'm excited for you to try that out and also kind of like go deeper on the glazing.
Yeah.
Because I know it's kind of like one of the things.
It's a long, long process, though. It's like weeks to glazing, but we'll get there.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah.
Thanks for joining us.
This has been another episode of Making It.
We'll see you next time.
Make sure to subscribe and leave a review and say that we're awesome and that everybody should listen to us, because it will really help as we're trying to make this our main gig. We're trying to be professional podcasters. No, I'm kidding. We're not. But
email all your questions to annaleeshawn@gmail.com.
Wait, don't give them my email address. What the hell? What if it's randos? I don't know, just DM me on @animal,
@ANNAMAL.
Sorry. It's okay. It's just fine. If you wanna email me, if you're stuck in 1995 and you still use email, email me. And if you don't and you wanna use Instagram, you can DM me @ANNAMAL. And this fool, if I start seeing some email spam bots in my inbox, I know where it came from. Alright, see you next time.
See you next time.
Bye.